Jesus is risen. And may that risen presence of Christ go with us now and always. Amen. I want to start today not at the very beginning, a la Sound of Music, but rather at the very end. All right? The last thing we hear in today's gospel story is the Father and I are one. This is the climactic statement by Jesus at the end of this gospel. Everything else that Jesus has been saying in all of chapter 10 is leading to this pronouncement. My question is, what does that really mean, the Father and I are one? In today's gospel, the unity that Jesus proclaims is a unity of will and action. It's a unity that brings to all the faithful, to all of God's children, to all who follow Jesus, the greatest gift of all, which is eternal life. You see, our loving God, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord, gives us eternal life. That is, life with the Eternal One. See, that's why the people have been coming to see Jesus. That's why they have been pondering his words, attracted by his activity. This is why John has been telling us all of these stories in his gospel. We heard that a couple of weeks ago when he said, these stories are told that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God the Son, that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And in believing, you may come to have life in his name. That life in his name is the eternal life that Jesus is showing us. That life is the unity between Jesus and the Father that we hear about today. But unfortunately, the leaders of the Jewish people talking to Jesus today have no clue about, none at all. You see, the leaders of the Jewish people have come to Jesus today looking for some answers. But what they were looking for were the answers that they wanted to hear, not necessarily the answers that Jesus has been giving. Jesus was in the temple during the festival of dedication. We know it today more often as Hanukkah. And they came to ask Jesus to tell them plain. They wanted to know if Jesus was the Messiah for whom they have been waiting. But I think the timing for this conversation is important. You see, the people who were questioning Jesus at the temple for Hanukkah were there for that festival, and that festival led them on certain trains of thought. And so the question becomes, what then is the festival of dedication? All right. Now, you may remember, if you cast back to that one time in catechism class, they talked about all of that Old Testament history in one lesson, right? So God's people were good under David and Solomon, and then they split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah, right? Israel went on and was taken off into exile, and then Judah went on for a little bit longer, but they were taken off into exile in Babylon. All right. The Babylonian exile ended when the Persian ruler Cyrus sent all of the Jewish people back to their homeland. And so they returned. They rejoiced. They were back in Jerusalem. They were back in Judea. They rebuilt and made the temple. The Persian Empire was defeated by Alexander the Great. Alexander, who pretty much conquered most of the known world at that point in time, died by the time he was 30, and all of his generals split up that huge empire. So Ptolemy took Africa, Seleucus took Asia Minor, Antigonus took parts of Macedonia and Greece, and then Cassander got whatever was left over. So Judea, that eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, was fought over by the Ptolemies in Egypt and the Seleucids up in Asia Minor, and for years and years and years they were fought over. The Seleucids eventually won, and one of their leaders, one of their rulers, Antiochus IV, known as Epiphanes, rises and he profanes the temple. He sacrifices a pig on the high altar of the temple in Jerusalem. You can't get much more sacrilegious than that. Matthias and his five sons, who become known as the Maccabees, begin an uprising. 3 years of guerrilla fighting between the Maccabees and the forces of Antiochus lead to the defeat of Antiochus. And the Jews have returned to ruling themselves. And so they come and they rededicate the temple. There was only one small jug of oil left in the entire temple that had not been profaned. It was enough to last one day. It lasted 8 days. And so Hanukkah, the festival of lights, is begun. It is about dedicating the temple. So the festival celebrates God's blessing and goodness. It celebrates the rededication of God's plan. And it celebrates the conquest of the people's enemies. So when Jesus is in the temple for that Hanukkah celebration, the Jewish leaders have questions, but they also have the answers that they wanted to hear from Jesus. You see, they had a uniform that they wanted Jesus to wear, and they had a box in which they wanted him to fit into. So the questions that they are asking are urgent for them. At that festival, where they were remembering the power of the hammers, that's what the Jewish word Maccabee means, as they were remembering the Maccabees and their uprising, they want to see if Jesus is going to do the same thing to Rome that the Maccabees had done to Antiochus. That's what they were looking for. Some of them with much excitement and others with trepidation, but that's what they were looking for. Hanukkah was a celebration of a political uprising that allowed for a return to religious purity. The Jewish leaders were looking for a general as well as a priest. They were awaiting a Messiah who would free Israel once again from outside forces and begin a pure and blessed life with God. And so they asked Jesus, "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." They were asking for him to give his plan and his platform. They were looking for him to fit into their uniform and to see if his box would fit into theirs. Jesus' response to all of that big, huge, loaded question is to tell them that they are looking for something that he is not, as well as something that God is not sending. The Jewish leaders are looking for an earthly kingdom to rival that of David. They are looking for a temple that will demand the kind of obedience that they favor for all Jews. They are looking for a Messiah who will crush the opposition and rise to prominence with all of them by his side. Jesus is not the leader of a rebellion or a warrior leading the people in a nationalistic uprising. Jesus did not come to defeat our earthly enemies or destroy those who conquer. The enemies that Jesus defeats are sin, death, and the devil, or the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. This is the work that the Father sent him to do for us. This is the work Jesus does on our behalf. The Jewish leaders are not in the same flock. They don't hear Jesus' voice. They could be part of that flock, but right now they are opposed to it. They're working against Jesus' ministry. Because you see, Jesus' claim is that his sheep hear his voice. The sheep know that voice and they follow that voice, and that voice that is going to lead them into lives of care and forgiveness, lives of love and service to friends and neighbors. Jesus tells us all that those who hear his voice resonate with that message. And in his life, Jesus claims that there is no need to overthrow Rome, to rebuild David's kingdom, or to set up the Pharisees' life plan as first and foremost for all of Israel. What Jesus is leading us all to are lives filled with the love of God to overflowing. What Jesus is living for us is the defeat of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. What Jesus is giving us is eternal life. That is, life connected to the eternal one. The Jewish leaders were coming at Jesus asking if he would tell them plainly. And Jesus says to them, "I have told you and you do not believe." Throughout his ministry, Jesus has been living and teaching, helping, healing, feeding people so that God's love was easily seen by all who were looking for it. When asked, Jesus answered. When confronted, Jesus responds with compassion. He did not come into the world as a conquering general or an earthly ruler. Jesus came to show us what God is truly like. Jesus came to show us how God behaves with love and compassion, leading us to still waters, green pastures, and even through dark valleys by our way all the time. Jesus' final statement tells it plain. The Father and I are one. Jesus lets us know that if we want to know what God is like, then watch what He, Jesus, is doing. The unity Jesus proclaims is foundational. What God wants, Jesus wants. How Jesus behaves is how God behaves. What God wills is what Jesus accomplishes. As followers of Jesus, we can look to Him for inspiration. As children of God, we can look to Jesus for guidance and grace, for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus came that we might dedicate our lives to living the love of God for our neighbor, not for conquering or ruling. This life doesn't need to be something miraculous, although it can be. Instead, for us, we overthrow the power of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves with the power of Jesus' love for us. We overthrow the influence of sin, death, and the devil by relying on our good shepherd, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life given and shown for us. We live our lives through the gift of eternal life, our life connected to God, the eternal one, through the life and the love of Jesus. Now, we get to go into the world, not in conquest or battle, but rather living lives for the sake of others around us. And our rallying cry is the truth that we discover in our Easter proclamation. Jesus is risen. Amen.